Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. The Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Previously recorded with Mark as the host of The Mark Kohler Show.
Enjoy this fresh take on strategies to better live the American dream.
Welcome, everybody, to today's show. My name is Mark Kohler. Excited to be here with you. Got a beautiful winter morning. I know most of you are freezing around the country. it's crazy. Some of you may even be stranded in an airport. But I hope that you're safe, nonetheless, and you've got some warm hot chocolate or coffee near you so that you can warm your insides, and appreciate you being here with us. I know some of you listen to this show via podcast and recording after the fact, so welcome to the show. We are broadcasting live, and I am your host, Mark Kohler, small business owner, CPA attorney, family man, scoutmaster, going on a big camp out this weekend with the boys, and just trying to keep it real. So here we are at a show talking about building wealth, saving taxes, and protecting it. And today's show, I'm really excited about. Am I excited about every week's show? I guess I am. That's the kind of guy I am. But this is a fun one. I kind of hit this topic of marketing at the beginning of the year. Last week, we talked about strategic planning. This week, we're talking about your marketing plan. And I love this. I've got a lot of emails in from some listeners already that have asked questions and wanted me to comment on several issues. So I'm going to be going through those. So this is really almost an open forum, but restricted to the marketing topic. Please. I've already got a couple emails where clients wanted to jump into the IRA topic, which I'll tell you next week's show here in a moment. But we're going to be talking about marketing today and the marketing plan. And please, I know some of you may even saw this topic and thought, well, am I going to click on this podcast? Is it worth it? Trust me, it is worth it. I want you to build a plan for 2014 to make more sales, make more money. And I guess some of you may be thinking, Mark, you're a CPA and attorney. You're historically, you're terrible. I mean, those types of people are not the best marketers. They're out there giving technical, tax, or legal advice. Well, I've had the unique opportunity not only to get a master's and an MBA and take all my marketing courses and all that stuff, but over the last 12 years, I've been not only marketing myself and marketing my own business, I've been working with business owners every day seeing what they're doing to build their businesses. So why not should I be talking about, why shouldn't I be talking about marketing and all the little techniques and tips and strategies I've seen? This is why it's a chapter in my book. This is why I love marketing. I'm passionate about it, and I will make this argument. If you're a small business owner, you better be a good marketer because you got to be selling yourself, selling your business. And this could even just be finding good real estate deals or letting others know that you can bring good real estate deals to the table. Maybe it's notes. Maybe it's investing of some sort. It doesn't have to just be your typical brick-and-mortar business. So that's what we're talking about today, marketing and the marketing plan and how to build that marketing plan. And I've got some amazing, wonderful ideas and strategies I want to be sharing with you. I'm really, really excited about the topic today. So thank you for listening. And it's a privilege. You don't even know that I'm so jazzed up. I just love being on the radio show every week, and it's such an honor and privilege that many of you tune in. I get little emails all the time saying, Mark, I don't miss a show. I always listen to it when I'm on the treadmill or I'm lifting weights at the gym, and some folks have been swimming with those little underwater earphones. I love those. I have them a set myself, and you know, listening to your podcast. And so wherever you're at, thank you for listening in. I work so hard to try to bring you great topics and guests, and I don't think today will disappoint. Good stuff today. A couple of the quick housekeeping items, announcements. First, last week's show was on strategic planning. Now, some of you may have clicked on that podcast. In the first 3 to 5 minutes, it was silent. We did have a technical difficulty. Once it was fixed, I jumped right on and we continued. So we've already had a lot of listeners on iTunes and through Blog Talk Radio. But I want to encourage all of you, if you stopped listening or thought there was a problem and didn't stay on the podcast, fast forward a little. Be patient. The show kicks in, and it is a fantastic show. I have a special business consultant that came on the show, Rulon Olson, that joined me, and we really went through the strategic plan for 2014. So it's kind of your New Year's resolution, New Year promises show about your business plans for the year. So please, please go back and listen to it if you felt that there was some technical problem and gave up. Now, next, it is tax season time. And folks, I'm actually pretty excited. Right after my show, I run out and get a salad. That's part of my New Year's resolution. I don't get to go get a hamburger In-N-Out or Five Guys, which is always a big debate because right down the street, I'm not kidding, within 1 mile, I have an In-N-Out burger and a Five Guys. It's a big debate. I think I need to, you know, get some voting going on one of these shows, which one's better. But I'll tell you, the dollar for dollar impact of an In-N-Out is cheaper than Five Guys, but those Five Guys are so good too. Anyway, so sorry. See, I'm already blowing my New Year's resolution. I'm going to talk myself into getting a burger if I don't watch it. So anyway, after the show, I'm going out for my salad. How exciting is that? And then I'll be coming back and working with Marisha, and we are sending out all of our engagement letters via email to our clients around the country that we're going to be starting to work on your tax returns. So if you've been a current client of ours in the past, be looking in your email today. Check your junk mail. Heaven forbid it went into junk. We've got your engagement letter and all the information you need to get started gathering your data. If you are potentially a new client, please call the office. We'll send you an engagement letter via DocuSign so that you can sign that and get rolling. We've got an amazing team this year for tax season. We've actually hired 5 new tax consultants, 2 or 3 of which are already CPAs or sitting for the CPA exam, have master's programs under their belts or working on them. These are phenomenal people, and we're so excited. The training we've been doing with them, making sure they're a part of our system, and I should say I'm trying to Kohlerize them. I'm just joking. I've got all these little tax tips I love, you know, and I get to embed my little tax strategies on them. And then my amazing management team, Brian Brown, Dustin Johnson, and we've got a new manager coming on this year. They, of course, make sure that they follow through with an incredible, compliant, and accurate tax return. But anyway, so please, if you are considering a new CPA, please let us give you a quote and possibly work with you and save you some more in taxes. We want to save you 10 times, whatever you pay us or more. And for those of you that are current clients, be looking for your engagement letter. Got a new website for K&E that launched this weekend. A couple little pieces are still missing, but it looks phenomenal. So that's ke-cpas.com, as in Kohler Ayer. So Kohler and Ayer, or Ayer, ke-cpas.com. Go check it out, and you'll be getting more links about that. So exciting stuff. Now, I thought, let me announce next week's show right now, because before I forget, I want to tell you right now, I thought we'd get Matt Sorensen on the show, but he's speaking in Phoenix to a large group today, and his book is out. You've been hearing about it for weeks, for months. Gosh, has it been a year? But you've been hearing about Matt Sorensen's new book, The Self-Directed IRA Handbook. Amazing. The quotes, the references, the easy readability, the little takeaways. It is a fantastic book. You can already get it on Amazon. You can get it on the SDIIRAhandbook.com. You'll get more links on our newsletter next week because we're going to have Matt Sorensen on the show next week. It's going to be an open forum on self-directed IRA issues for 2014, self-directing your 401k, self-directing your IRA, your SEP, your Simple, your KEO, your 401, all that we're going to be hitting next week on the 2014 IRA show. And Matt Sorensen will be there. We may even raffle off a book or two during the show. It's going to be awesome. So this is the big unveiling next week. Now, you can get the book right now. If you want to go, check it out. I'll repeat that website. I'm sure Lisa put it on the live chat for those that are listening on their computer right now. That's www.sdira, as in self-directed IRA. So sdirahandbook.com. Go check it out. Pick up your copy now, and you'll have it ready for any questions you might have for the show next week. So that's what we're doing. So exciting stuff. New tax year, new year. How's it feel? I don't know. I love this time of year. It's kind of like going back to school time in the fall and then January kicking it in for the new year. So good stuff. Well, all right. Now, for those of you that are regular listeners, you know where we're going next. We're going to go to a couple tax or legal tips to help you in your daily business, something unique, something odd or different that one of our consultants encountered this week. And we're honored to have Dustin Johnson here on the line first. He's one of our CPA managers. I mentioned him a moment ago earlier. He's been with us for years, a great consultant and CPA in our office. Many of you have worked with him. And always consulting with clients, coming up with weird and unique situations. So, Dustin, welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be here, Mark. Thank you.
Now, I didn't imply you were weird or unique. I just said sometimes you encounter weird.
Well, you know, I can take it either way. I've heard that before too. So I've been told it's worse. So that's yeah. Okay.
Well, I hate to say this, you are a CPA, so it
yeah, you got to be a little territory, right? That's yeah, right.
You just keep telling yourself you're not odd. It's all right. Just, you know, you're normal. Just keep telling yourself.
I do it every morning. Look in the mirror.
That posted on the mirror. So anyway, so what'd you run into this week? What do you got a little tip for us on?
Well, this week we did have something a little unique that a client wanted us to look into for him. And hopefully it can apply to, you know, some of our clients. And he was looking for a rental property. And he found a few that he liked. And the person that he was buying it from, who is not a client of ours, but he wanted us to do a little research for them, had some an interesting situation where, you know, they've owned this rental property for a long time. They're ready to get rid of it and move on, but they're also they're getting up there in age to where they may not be around for too much longer. But they were worried about the tax consequences. And so our client asked, you know, what can we do to minimize taxes to save them so they're not paying a bunch?
Okay, so I'm liking that. Okay, so far so good. Good, admirable goal.
So they've held this property for a long time. They had a lot of depreciation recapture that they were worried about. And they asked the questions, well, what about an installment sale? You know, what about you know, we'll lay it out over time, and possibly, you know, if heaven forbid, you know, these gentlemen pass, that whoever the heirs are, this installment sale's gone, right? Because they passed away, we don't have to worry about it. And that was really the main thing that they were looking at. So we looked into it for them, talked to them about it, and with an installment sale, you don't release any tax obligation on an installment sale via death. So if mom and dad had an installment sale gain that they need to recognize over the next 5-10 years and they pass away, whoever inherits that note is going to have to continue to recognize the income and the gains on that installment sale. So we said that's probably not the best route for you right now. Mm-hmm. What we came up with and said that he should take to this individual is lease the property for, you know, another year or two, or have the first option to buy it. And then, you know, again, that time comes where mom and dad pass. The kids get a step up in basis, and they don't have to pay taxes on the gain. And you may be able to negotiate a lower sales price at that time based on, you know, the whole big picture.
I love it. That's a really good topic. In fact, I had something similar this last week, too, where a son and daughter were talking about, how do I get the property out of mom and dad's name? Is there some way that we can get the property on our names now so that we can start using it, and then mom and dad could qualify for Medicaid or Medi-Cal in the future? And so a lot of people are constantly trying to figure out how to get property out of parents' names, and a lot of times it's prematurely, and it screws them over on the tax strategy. So this analysis you went through was a very wise, I think, an ultimate result, is that they keep the property in mom and dad's name and let the kids inherit it. They can still use it, they can still access it, even rent it for mom and dad, some preferred sort of gift strategy with the rent or something like that. But the point is, when mom and dad die, the kids get a stepped-up basis and pay no taxes. And the estate tax folks level has been raised under the fiscal cliff legislation over a year ago, so that unless the property's worth over $5 million, no one's going to pay any tax on it.
and mom and dad may not even qualify for Medicaid anyway. So I think that's a great strategy session. And it's something you probably deal with a lot, Dustin, is how to get property from one generation to the next.
Well, it is, yeah, and that's, again, part of this, and part of it is just being creative because the buyers in this situation aren't the kids. You know, there's somebody, some completely different third party, but there's hesitation to sell because of the tax implications. So, you know, working your way around that, subleasing the property until, you know, it passes on to the next generation and they get that step up in basis. But, yeah, I mean, from that standpoint, too, it's a great way to, you know, there's a lot of aspects to look at, but taxes definitely need to play a big part in the estate tax arena.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and lease options are a great way to go. Many of you that may have already worked with a lease option strategy, it's wonderful because those tenants tend to take care of the property better because they've got a lease option payment that's irrevocable. They're not going to get it back. So they really do think they're going to buy the property. And you can set it out of time in the future. And a lot of times, those same tenants, they don't actually execute the lease option. So you get to keep that lease option payment, and they move out, and you start the process over with a new lease option tenant, and hopefully get a higher quality tenant to boot. So it can be, lease options are a great strategy, something everyone should consider, especially, again, transferring property to the next generation carefully. So, well, I love it. Gosh, Dustin, great topic. You hanging in there? Is tax season beating you up yet? You still feel like...
You know, right now we're really in the gearing up mode. We've got a few eager clients that are just chomping at the bit for us to get their taxes done, but we don't even have the finalized forms in our software. So we've got client information, but we're still waiting on the IRS and the states. So we're gearing up. We're getting ready. But
it's called,
sorry, a few more weeks.
Yeah, come on. Let's talk New Year's resolution. You're carving up. See, there's a difference. You're carving up so that you can, you know, be ready to burn all that energy. You know,
absolutely.
Kind of part of your net.
That's right.
Carbon up. You're in carb up mode. Well, hey, Dustin, you're awesome. Thank you so much for finding a few minutes to come on the show. And please know we've got, you know, lots of listeners that want to hear from you, even though it's tax season. So, you know, please keep a little note on your side of your desk when you come across something cool, and I'll have you out on the show. We really appreciate it.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me, Mark.
All right, thank you. All right, well, folks, we've even got some people on the chat line asking, where is Lee Chen? Lee Chen, a regular contributor to our show and a lawyer here in our California office, running the California operations for the law firm, huge asset to the firm, helping clients nationwide. And I think we've got him on the line, so let me bring him out. Lee, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mark.
Are you there?
Great to be on the show. I am here, Mark. Can you hear me?
We got you now.
Yeah, sorry, so, I pushed the wrong button.
That's right. How are your New Year's resolutions coming along? Have you failed on any of them yet? Are you still
I'm still procrastinating on starting them. So it's always going to be tomorrow.
Okay. Well, okay. We're only on the 7th, Lee. Come on, you've already given up.
Yeah.
Well, hang in there. We're rooting for you. So, okay, so what do you got for us? Any unique situations this week?
Well, not so unique, but I'm getting more, you know, a lot of people are, you know, starting out their real estate business, doing a lot of rehabs, and I'm getting, rehabbers or homeowners or even contractors asking me about, in contract disputes. And so I thought, and every time I talk to them, it seems like there's not a great understanding as to what a construction contract, when you do a rehab, you know, what types of things should you be looking for in those contracts? So I thought I'd, go through some of the things that I like to see, which unfortunately I don't see all the time. And so, you know, if you're doing rehabs or if you're going to, you know, do a remodel, you know, some of the things that you should be looking out for.
So I think this is a great point because, in fact, this would be the same contract you might use for doing your own, maybe some home improvement even, with your own home that you're living in. So if you're going to hire a contractor at all, there's probably some key issues to be aware of.
Yeah, and there, this is, especially in California where I'm at, this is a very highly regulated area, probably most highly regulated in terms of contracts, in terms of what's required in the contract, than any other area that I'm aware of, except maybe securities.
Hold on, not in California. I mean, this is like, this is live free and unencumbered. There's no red tape in the California legal system. This should be... Sorry.
Oh no, not at all. Not at all. Okay. Not at all. Anyway,
and to think I moved here voluntarily. You know, that's the crazy part.
Yeah,
people always ask me.
I keep hearing that.
I love California. Okay, so keep going. So, what do we need in this contract, Lee?
So, some of the things that I see that I see are deficient in a lot of these contracts. And it could be, you know, from the homeowner side or from the contractor side. The first thing I want to look at when I'm looking for at these contracts is how detailed is the work the description of the work. You know, does it say, for example, that Joe Contractor is going to just install kitchen cabinets, or does it say something like, is it more specific as to what the materials are going to be, the style, the brand? You know, does it say, for example, install upper and lower kitchen cabinets manufactured by X company, X style, X model, so that you know exactly what you're getting.
Okay. All right. So be specific.
I mean, I see,
that's point number one.
Yeah, I see a lot of disputes over costs in which, you know, when people are looking at it, they don't even know what was done and what was installed, and it makes it very difficult to find out what the cost should be for something like that. So,
yeah. Okay. I like that. And, you know, even I had a client that had paid for some bark to be put down around their house and some landscaping. And if you haven't been to the bark distribution center with a big truck, it's kind of like information overload. There's like 9 variations of types of bark. And of course, the landscaper used the cheapest possible bark, and the homeowner was like, hold on, I paid for you to put bark down. And the landscaper said, well, you didn't classify what type, so this is what I did, and this is what you paid for. And it was after all the bark was down, so damage done. So, I mean, even if it's just basic landscaping, being specific as possible when it comes to any sort of home improvement contract, including landscaping, just a side note. So great first tip there. Okay,
yeah,
keep rolling.
And that,
what do you got next?
And that's I'm kind of listing it in the order in which I see the problems arise. You know, when I see something like, you know, install ceramic flooring and install paint or install grant without any further description, that's when there's going to be a dispute. So the next one, and this is the second one that I always see, is there's always going to be change orders. Okay, and I always see, you know, changes being done to the contract orally, and then the price goes up. And those are really difficult to deal with. So how do you deal with it? You put in your contract that any change orders has to be in writing, signed by both parties, and includes how much the change order is going to be. That way you know exactly what you're getting into, and you'd be surprised how many, experienced rehabbers, contractors, they just do it orally. And it's easy, you know. Oh, this didn't work, we got to do something. Okay, we'll just do it, and we'll just charge you this. And they don't get it in writing. To protect yourself, both from the contractor and the homeowner's side, get it signed in writing for any modifications.
Okay. Any and all modifications signed and in writing. And in fact, I don't care if you're in a state where it's not required. That's just good, solid information that if something changes, don't just – I mean, how many times have you had that phone call with the contractor and then you remember the phone call one way and they remember it another, and then all of a sudden the damage is done again? So
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Huge. In general, we just want more detail. I mean, I've been dealing with a lot of contracts that are like single-page contracts, which, you know, in California, if I see a single-page contract for a home improvement, I'm pretty sure there's something wrong with it. Because with the amount of regulation that we have here in our state, it's very difficult to get all the disclosures. You know, it's like a real estate contract. You have this disclosure, you have that disclosure, and it's just you want to be as specific as possible, you know, with respect to, you know, what the contract is going to do, the warranties, the beginning and completion dates, mechanics lien issues. All that should be in the contract. And if it's not in the contract, then either put it in the contract or ask your contractor about it or ask why it's not in there.
And if it's not in the contract, have you ever watched that Judge Judy show where it's he said, she said, and it gets ugly in small claims court? Folks, that's what it's going to look like. And ironically, I've been to small claims court representing a client, trying to help them on a quote-unquote home improvement debate and fight, and it was just so dumb. And it was kind of a mess. So it is so hard when there's not a paper trail. So, well, Lee, we got to get onto this marketing topic. So I love this. Let's just summarize some of these. In all of your home improvement contracts, especially even with a rehab on a rental property, of course it's going to be a little more involved. But make sure you're specific. Make sure you have deadlines, the warranties. What else did we cover there?
Get your change orders in writing.
Change orders in writing.
And, each state is different, so check online, go to your state licensing board. A lot of these states have the requirements as to what you should expect from these contracts. So go check the licensing board in your state and see if there's information. Or if not, California has a ton of information that you could probably use in your state, even though, you know, the laws might not be the same. You could still use it.
Okay. Killer. All right. Well, Lee Chen, the amazing Lee Chen, running the legal operations here in California and helping clients again nationwide. Appreciate that. Folks, if you want to consult with Lee, just give the office a call, and you can line up a quick phone call with him and go over these types of issues. And Lee, who's been in court and has fought many a battle, is a great advocate to review a contract. Thanks, Lee.
You're welcome. Good to be on the show again.
Well, thank you. All right. Well, folks, it is time to jump over to our marketing topic for the hour. For the remaining portion of the hour. Again, we're hitting a lot of little pieces and parts, and I hope that you found that rewarding. I've already gotten a number of emails here with listeners asking me to comment on certain marketing tips and strategies. So if some of you are in that boat, we are taking live calls, and you always get a priority. It's 646-200-4285. If you'd like to share a marketing tip or strategy that you're employing this year, something you're trying new and want to just share the wealth and give an idea out there, if it's a competitive strategy in your area and you don't want to tell anyone, we certainly understand that. But if you can share, please do. And also, if you want to shoot me an email with any comments, suggestions, you can do so, mark@markjkohler.com. I'll be checking my emails as we go through the remaining portion of the show. And of course, on the chat window, I am constantly looking over at that, and we have some folks already on the chat line with a little bit of chatter going on. So, here's some comments I have to get us in the mood, get us moving along here. Probably the first and foremost point is, if you'd like a little more detail on this, I've already written a blog article that's in the newsletter today. It's on my blog at markjkohler.com. It's on marketing strategies for 2014, and I go through a five-step process of building a marketing plan. It's taken in some aspects from my book, What Your CPA Isn't Telling You, and also a lot of little new tips and strategies and concepts that I throw out there in that blog article. So please take a moment to review that article. Number two, you may even want to, if you haven't already, review or pick up a copy of my book, What Your CPA Isn't Telling You. There's a whole appendix on building a marketing plan in there. The next point I want to make, and if any of you, again, have a suggestion in this area, please share, if you will. I carry my marketing plan with me everywhere I go. Now, I know that sounds pretty dorky, but it's right here in my business. I don't have a Walter Mitty silver case. By the way, is that movie awesome or what? For those of you that didn't get to see it during the holidays, go check out The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Great family show, too, and so inspiring in a lot of ways. And a lot of fun. Great soundtrack. But in my business bag over here, leather bag, I have a pocket just for my business plan and my my strategic plan and my marketing plan, and I carry them around with me everywhere I go. And I pull it out, and I've got it sitting right here on my stand-up desk, burning some calories with my little stand-up desk today. And that is something very, very important to me that I can modify on a regular basis and make sure I'm implementing things. Because, folks, if the phones aren't ringing, if there's not new customers coming in and buying something in your business is going to wither and die on the vine. Am I correct? And so even if you're looking for investments, if you're looking for customers, if you're looking for online activity, online sales, whatever the case may be, that marketing plan should be by your side on a regular basis and being modified, and it will evolve. It's going to be dynamic, and it's going to be perfected and grow with you throughout the year. Okay, so that's point number one. Now, I got an email from a listener here earlier that asked, Mark, could you please explain the four sections of each piece of your marketing plan and why that's so important? And so I was like, all right, no problem. So let's hit that. And in every aspect of my marketing plan, I've got, let's see, what do I have? 34 different ideas, 34 different strategies I'm trying to implement this year. Under each one of them, I have a four-prong approach. And in my little database, so I could just, I'm sorry, not in my database, in my Word document here, I've created these four factors, and I just duplicate them under each one of these marketing strategies. And I think this is great for anyone implementing a marketing plan that you consider these four aspects with any marketing strategy you employ. Number one, what's the purpose? Why are you doing this marketing strategy? Is it to build name recognition? Is it to build top-of-mind awareness? Is it to make the phone ring? Is it to make someone click and fill out a form on a website? Is it for someone to submit a real estate idea or a real estate project or property? What is the purpose of this marketing particular strategy? Number two, what's the procedure? And you may already know what the procedure is, but who's going to carry out the procedure? And are you going to use software? Which program are you using? What method are you going to use to manage that marketing tip or strategy? Now, and maybe at this point, let me just give an example of one of these so that we can talk about these four points under a particular example. The number one marketing strategy on my list, and is probably the foundation of the bulk of our marketing strategy, and I've had a radio show on this previously. I'll highlight some of these other prior radio shows I want you to listen to, is maintaining a client database, a client management system. What are you doing to track all your customers? Anybody that clicks on your website, anybody that picks up a flyer at a booth, anybody that gets a business card of yours at a function of some sort, are you capturing their information? Are you putting them into your database so that you can reach back out to them? We're going to come to this later, but is it a monthly newsletter? Is it a weekly newsletter? Is it a webinar quarterly? Is it an annual announcement? Are they alerts? What is it that you're going to reach out to these people with and attract them to be on your list? We've got to build our list. This is absolutely critical, and those of you listening are probably smiling and laughing that have been in internet marketing, because this is, again, the foundation of good internet marketing is building your list. So the purpose of the client database management system in your business, I would presume, is to build a stronger relationship with your clients, be in contact with them, have an ability to contact them through email blasts, announcements, Christmas cards, or even direct mail. So, excuse me, maintaining your database is absolutely critical. That's the purpose. Number two, the procedure, which software are you using? So let me give you a few tips. We talked about this on a prior radio show. There's two radio shows in particular that I want to encourage you to listen to. These are approximately 10 to 11 months ago. You're going to see them in the podcast list on February 5th and February 19th. Last year, we talked about social media and also branding. And on one or both of those shows, I can't remember which one it was in particular, we really got in depth in the database management system. I had Jeff Seamus from All Clients join us. Great guy. AllClients.com is a small business database management system. Some of you maybe have heard of Constant Contact. Very similar to that. I would recommend you check out All Clients, recommend you check out Constant Contact, and then the creme de la creme that's probably the most expensive and elaborate is Infusionsoft. That's something that we've graduated to over the years. But Infusionsoft is that type of plan. I've also heard folks use ACT, A-C-T, to manage their clients. Now, some of you may have an industry-specific software that manages your clients, something in your franchise or agreement or some sort of personalized database system that's been developed for your business. That's fine, but have something. And this is where, again, people can opt into this list. It can be programmed in your website, and also you can take people's business cards and input them when you get home. As part of the employ your children strategy for tax planning, my kids get to input clients' business cards that I get handed to me at workshops, and I put them in the database. And I've got a daughter here at the office today. In fact, she walked in about 30 minutes before the show today and said, "Dad, I want to earn some money today." I was like, "Don't you love to hear those words come off your teenager lips? Dad, I'd like to earn some money today. What can I do?" I know some of you would fall off your chair, and once you pick yourself up, you come up with something, right? Well, my daughter today is going to be entering some database information. So there's your procedure. Who's going to input it and what software you're going to use, and we've got our purpose. Now, the third piece of any marketing strategy is, what is your statistical goal? What's your goal? Are you going to try to get 1,000 people on your database list? This is under just one strategy. Under one strategy. I get so excited about this. Under one strategy, we're talking about these four options. And number three is statistical goal. Set a goal. What is it going to be? How many a month? How many a week? How many people this year are you going to try to get in your database? I like this because amongst the statistical goal, it allows you to measure your success so that you can find the best route to take. Maybe what you're doing is not working to get to your goal. By tracking your success, you're able to get direct feedback so you can make modifications to your marketing plan, and that's why you're carrying it around with you. So have a statistical goal you can track, if possible. Excuse me again, I apologize. Budget. Think about the budget. That's the fourth piece of any marketing strategy. What is your budget? How much does this software cost? Who are you going to be paying to implement this plan? How is the cost shared? It may be shared with other co-partners or business ventures. Build the budget into it so you know what it's going to be costing monthly, quarterly, annually. And maybe there's no cost. Indicate that on your marketing plan. So what I have is a Word document with a general outline of my marketing strategies, and I break down some different categories in the book and in the newsletter today in my blog: internal procedures, public relations, technology, speaking, media, all these different things. These are different categories. You tailor it to your situation and then number them. And under each strategy, have your four subcategories of explaining what you're going to do: the purpose, the procedure, the statistical goal, and the budget. And then duplicate it, cut and paste, cut and paste, cut and paste, and then build your strategies for the year. How many strategies are you going to try to implement? I've got 34 on my list. Now, let me make another important point. Then I've got a couple emails here I want to hit. The point I want to make is, don't feel like you have to build Rome in one day. Don't try to overdo it. I've got 34 strategies on my marketing plan. Over the last 3 years, I've still got a couple on here I've never gotten around to yet. They're on here. I'm excited to hit them someday. I have very admirable goals to get to them. But put them on there. If you've got a marketing plan and things you want to do, whiteboard them. Throw them all up there. Get them all up there. And don't feel like you have to accomplish them all at once. Just get some of them started and get them going. And that's okay. Just have some sort of a list that you can choose from. Some are going to be easier than others to implement. Okay, so I had an email here that said, "Mark, do you really implement," because this is in my list of strategies in the book, and I think I mentioned it even in my blog article today. So Tom here sends me an email and he says, "Mark, do you really have a client holiday birthday contact program? Because I've never got a birthday card from you." I'm sorry, Tom. I apologize. That is in my list of marketing strategies. Now, it is funny that you bring that up because we have thought about sending out birthday cards to clients, and especially when we're doing estate plans and business entities, we get everybody's birthdays. We ought to have a birthday card program. It is on my list, but we've never implemented it. Now, with that list comes the holiday program. We do send out Christmas cards, and we have a cutoff based on how much money people have spent, because we could spend a lot more money on Christmas cards than is really practical and affordable. So we kind of have a cutoff. Some of you listening, don't be offended. Some of you may got a Christmas card. Some of you may you didn't. Some of you didn't spend any money with us last year. Some of you may have spent a lot. But we do have a Christmas card program. I think that's important. We also give out gift baskets at Christmas to clients that have spent exorbitant amounts of money. They may get a gift basket or referral partners, which is another strategy here, referral partners. But, Tom, we have not implemented the birthday contact program. Now, what's nice is if you have a database management system, that's going to give you the ability to print out a report of all the birthdays this month. And then you can just, boom, start preparing birthday cards if you want, if that's part of your plan. I got another email here. This is from Sherry. She said, Mark, we're starting to use text in our marketing. Have you used that strategy? I have not gotten a text from you. Sherry, great comment. We have not used the texting strategy. Now, if any of you have been to some marketing seminars, one of the big ones out there is to use a texting software program where you enter all the phone numbers of your clients, and then instead of sending out an email, you send a text. Now, we have not implemented this strategy. We want to, and I'm probably going to do it when I launch the Mark Kohler app for tax planning. And I shouldn't say it's the Mark Kohler app. I'll probably call it the K&E CPAs app. I've got such a huge team behind me that let me be who I am. I don't want to take away from our team. So it'll probably be an accounting firm app. But we do want people using their smartphones to track expenses and mileage and all these sorts of things. And what better way to contact them through a text? But we are not using the text strategy. Some of you may be using text to reach out. Again, the phone number can be a part of that client database program. So this is why, again, number one on our list is having that client database. Let me list some of these strategies for some of you. I really wanted to give you some meat in this radio show. So before I go back to the emails, let me list some of these procedures. I'm just going to list them here. Some of you may want to go back on the podcast and pause and write these down. But I'm just going to should I just list my 34? I'm getting a nod here in the office. Mark, just list your 34. So this may be a little much, but I'm going to go through this list. I don't want you to try to number them because I might combine a couple, but I'm going to go through this. And I'm excited to share this because I think I didn't plan on doing this on the show. So this is living wild and free. So I'm going to list every marketing strategy that we're either doing or trying to do as a law and accounting firm and as Mark Kohler Marketing. And then if any of these appear to be a strategy that you could employ, consider them, put your four categories under it, and go for it. Okay, number one, client database management system. Number two, thank you card program. Now, I want to come back to that one because I want to tell you what we've been doing for that. A thank you card program. Next, holiday and birthday contact program. Next, client referral program. If your clients refer you, do they get a special discount or some sort of bonus or strategy? Next, staff referral program. Do you reward your staff for bringing in new customers or clients? Strategic partnerships. Do you have a list of all of your strategic partners that give you referrals and you compensate them or reward them in some way? Next, branch offices. Would multiple locations help you, even if they're office sharing or temporary facades in a sense? They're not full offices, but you're bringing your product to the masses by having branch locations. Next, ABC client rating system. Have you rated your clients, which you could do in your client database management system, and rate them as ABC? Of course, A, B, and the priority clients that you may drop everything when they call, but they're paying more to get that service, and it may be a wonderful way to attract new customers. Next, reactivation mailings, phone calls, and scheduling. Are you reaching back out to those clients that may have purchased some product of yours or service in years past? Are you reaching back out to them, seeing if you can be of service now? Next, client surveying. I want to come back to that. I want to talk about client surveying. Client surveying and success story utilization. Are you getting testimonials from your clients? Are you surveying them? Those really are two separate ones. But utilizing your success stories of your customers on your website and in your brochures, we'll talk about that in a minute. But grabbing, bottom line, are you getting testimonials and success stories from your customers? Next, are you surveying your customers and clients to find out why they're coming to you and are they satisfied or dissatisfied or what you can improve on? Just doing a survey is a good marketing strategy to let people know you want to hear what they have to say. Folks, by the way, but when I finish this list, if there's anything I've missed, I really would love you to add anything to this list because I would like to learn from you as well. So if I don't mention something, by the way, we've got Thomas on the chat line that said SurveyMonkey. Dude, I was going to bring that out. Love it. So we're going to bring up SurveyMonkey here in a moment. Number 11 or 12 here, somewhere on the list, are you branding all your company materials and marketing with logos and designs? How quality are your logos and designs, and are they everywhere? Are you creating a brand, top-of-mind awareness? Next, are you holding any contests or special events? Contests or special events. Both of those could even be separate, of course. We've often contemplated holding a golf course, holding a golf tournament at a golf course with a special event of some sort. Are you holding any online contests? Charitable activities. Are you engaged in the community through Rotary, Chamber of Commerce, or even just a charity that you support as a company and getting awareness out there in the community about your business because you're doing a charitable event? I just think of this weekend, if you heard on the news, this guy, the owner of a major grocery store chain in Indianapolis by the Colts organization to go out and buy a bunch of tickets so the game isn't going to be blocked out this weekend. So he's getting a tremendous goodwill and time on national TV talking about how he's helping out the Colts on this blockout problem with NFL games. And it's because he was donating bought all these tickets, close to 2,000 tickets, and gave them away to military families. And it allowed also for the game to not be blocked out in India in this certain area. So this was huge. Great charitable event that really is getting him a lot of marketing traction. Now, we've got a live caller here. I'm going to come to him in just a minute, William, so please be patient. I'm quickly moving through this. What's your website look like? Do you have a client resource center? What's the quality of your website? I mean, we could go on and on. We could have a whole show on website design, right? We could, couldn't we? But do you have a client resource center as well? Are you providing extra benefits to your clients against something that you can reach out to them with a client database management? Next, are you using SEO, search engine optimization? What are you doing for search engine optimization to get people to, when they type in keywords, to get to your website? There's books written on this. I've had special guests on this as well. Social media. This is one of the shows from last year on February 5th was social media. A couple great authors came on the show about social media. What are you doing for your social media campaign? Next, YouTube, videos. You guys know I love videos. Huge. I think it's a lot of fun to have videos on your website. It increases your rankings, and it's a great way to reach out to your clients. Podcasts or radio. I've loved both. This radio show platform at Blog Talk Radio. Anybody you want to pay me for a few minutes, I can spare some time to talk to you about Blog Talk Radio and our experience over the last 5 years with Blog Talk. It's been a great relationship. Pay-per-click campaigns. Are you doing anything pay-per-click? Next, newsletter. Are you doing a newsletter with your clients or customers? Next, brochures and flyers. What's their quality? Where are you using them? Where are you handing them out? Next, are you writing a book? Are you writing an e-book? Many of you know I've written two books. Matt Sorensen just came out with his. We talked about it earlier. Writing a book is a great marketing tool to make the phones ring and to build guru status or name recognition. Next, are you speaking at continuing education courses? Whatever you're an expert at, are you teaching classes in the local area for continuing education? Or are you putting on your own workshops and seminars around the country? Or being a hired speaker under some speaker networks? Again, building that name recognition and status. oh my gosh, is this crazy? I'm just going through the list here. I'm hoping some of you are getting something out of this. I just love it. I love the topic. Okay, just a few more. Are you holding e-seminars? So don't worry about live seminars, which can be expensive. Are you at least holding e-seminars, which is very common now with the webinar platform? GoToWebinar is fantastic for this. Every one of these topics, I could just go on and on about different software, and I know some of you sent some emails, so we'll do that. Are you doing any sort of TV? I know that that could be very expensive, but are you also doing some web TV per se? I know that you might call that YouTube, but there are great ways to get your videos out there in other ways than just YouTube. You may see some of mine out there on eHow, Entrepreneur, Vimeo. YouTube's not the only game in town, so keep that open. Articles, magazines, newspapers, and blogs. Are you writing? Are you writing a lot? Are you letting people know what you're learning and sharing content? Even if you only write a blog article once a month, once a quarter, write. Build a repertoire of information that can be shared on your website. Very, very important. Finally, I would just say, are you building a specific marketing plan for different areas of the country or locally versus nationally? Make sure that you have a tailored marketing plan for your different targets. Texting, we talked about that earlier. I just added that to my list. So big topic there. Woo! Lots of good stuff. And I'm just going to jump back to their comment online on the chat window on surveying. SurveyMonkey.com is free, and it's fantastic. You can build your own little survey, email it to your customers, and have them email back. In fact, we should really be doing a new one for our law firm and accounting firm and sending it out and getting some feedback. Never hurts. And I know it's scary asking people to comment on your business, but I think it's very, very much well worth it. Okay, so we've got a live caller here, and I want to make sure I've got Lisa. I could let me call her out here. Lisa, in our studio, helping us out. Tell me, where is William at? Do we have last four digits here on a?
It looks like he dropped off.
We've lost him.
Okay. Yeah, he had a really bad connection, so we'll see if he gets back on.
Okay. Well, thanks, Lisa.
All right.
This is Robin. See, Howard Stern has Robin. I've got Lisa. So, Lisa, do you want to share anything like way crazy, cool, like, you know, sometimes
I'm
Robin
much better
does.
Looking than Robin. How about that one?
There you go. Woo! Throw it down. You go, girl. Okay. There you go. All right. Thanks, Lisa. She's there in the studio every week. Okay. So, I got an email here about pay-per-click campaigns. This is from Eric. He says, Mark, we've used pay-per-click campaigns to a great deal of success. We've also had some bad experiences with pay-per-click. What's yours? Do you recommend pay-per-clicks? Well, that's a great question, Eric, and that's a hard one because pay-per-clicks can be very expensive. And for those of you that haven't used it, you can now use them on Facebook. You can even use them on YouTube, all sorts of Yahoo, Google, any of these platforms. When someone does a search and your name comes up, you have the option to have this little ad up in the corner, and they click on it, you get charged. Now, what's cool here is if you haven't done this before, you can say, I don't want a budget to exceed $50 a day or $10 a day. And how much is each click? The more powerful the keyword, the more expensive the click. So if someone clicks on it, it could be 50 cents. Now, should I say this on live radio? I don't know. But some of my, I don't even want to call them competitors, but companies I really hate, and when I see they have an ad on Google, I'll just click on it like 10 times. Click, 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 click. Run up their bill, maybe. I don't know. Is that terrible? I'm so sorry. But if they're selling something fraudulent or something I hate, I'm gonna click them. Anyway, so when you click on an ad, the person paying for the ad pays for that click, and then hopefully that translates into someone making filling out a web form or giving you a phone call. I think they're wonderful. You just want to make sure you set a budget and then test your clicks. And sometimes clients will set up a 1-800 number just for that campaign. so that any calls that come in that 1-800 number, you know they came from that pay-per-click campaign. That way you can really track the phone calls that might be happening, which sometimes can be hard to do. All right, well, it looks like we've got William on the line now, so I'm going to bring him out. William, welcome to the show.
Hello, my name's William, and I come here for some advice on how to be a better salesman.
All right. Well, let's do it. Let's talk about it. Well, William, I'll take that question offline. Listen in. Let me give you a few thoughts. One of the ones that I want to I'm just going to throw this out is I had a couple in fact, I want to – well, in my podcast history, there's a couple radio shows where for almost an hour we talk about specifically – relationship sales and proven sales systems. So if you look into my radio show history, look at the Proven Sales System radio show. I think you'll find that really helpful as we talk about that. But from a salesman standpoint, I'll just share a few of my thoughts, if I may throw it out there. The first thing I would say is to be a good salesman, some of the key words that I think about is follow-up. Are you following up with the contacts you're making? I think so many people that are out there trying to sell, they don't have a good follow-up system, which brings me to number two, is being organized. Oftentimes, people that are good at sales and good talking to people are terrible in their organizational structure. And I hate to say that, but it's very common. And so make sure that you're organized so that you can follow up with people. The next thing I would say is that if you are very nervous around people and it's sometimes hard to open your mouth and feel like you can close the deal, I highly recommend joining local networks in your area. What's the name of that? Someone help me out on the chat line. The club where you can practice speaking. I want to say Diners Club, but that's the credit card. Toastmasters. So go join Toastmasters in your local area and look at doing little speaking practice scenarios in a local group. Also, there's all these little networking clubs and groups where you can get up and talk about your business. Join the Chamber of Commerce. Join the Rotary Clubs of the world. Meetup.com. Thank you, Thomas, on the chat line. Meetup. Go get in some of these little clubs and networkings where you meet for breakfast and you talk about your business. I think that's a really powerful way to build your personal skills in communicating. The last thing I would say is, you know, just using strategic partnerships more wisely. Go out to the people you already have some sort of relationship and tell them what you're doing in business. Talk about what your business goals are. Ask for their advice on how you can make more sales. Compensate them for bringing you customers or sales. Sometimes the easiest people to sell to are the people you already know or have a relationship with. Now, and by the way, let me just say this. I'm not talking about holding a meeting in your house and selling them, you know, the next juice or lotion. And I love MLMs. I'm not trying to take a stab at the multi-level marketing industry. I think they're great businesses. But once you sometimes sell your closest friends on your product or service, what I mean is going out and having people you already know help you sell and compensating them in some way, and they can become salesmen of you in some ways and help you be more successful. Oh, my gosh. I've got several emails here I'm not going to be able to respond to, and I'm going to have to reply to those offline. We've just got less than a minute left here, but let me throw this out for all of you listening. First, thank you for listening in. Please don't give up on your marketing plan. Carry it around with you everywhere you go. If you would like to have me look at your marketing plan, send it to me. I'd love to do a consult with you, tell you what I think. I'm seeing other people in your industry do that are working, things that aren't working. Remember, I consult, and our team consults with clients all over the country in all different industries. So if you need some support in that area, give us a buzz, and we could look at your marketing plan and give you some feedback. I may be one of the best fit for that rather than one of our other CPAs or attorneys that's a little more hyper-focused on tax or law. But I'm so passionate about the marketing plan. Folks, set your plan up for 2014. Make a list and don't try to overdo it. Tackle one little thing a week and don't give up. it'll turn out. You'll make some more sales. And keep your head high. I know it can be hard. You can feel like you can be on an island. I wish you the best. God bless. And keep living your American dream. Don't give up. See you next week on Tuesday, 11 a.m. And please pass the word and share a link to the show if you would with your friends and family. I truly appreciate it. Have an awesome week.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.